as we gather this morning on Resurrection Sunday, we can proudly proclaim, Jesus Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Now stand and join us in singing our song of celebration, Christ the Lord is risen today.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. this cornerstone, this solid ground. Boom, through the fiercest drought and storm, what height of love, what depth of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand.
Worship choir. Good morning. It's good to gather in the Lord's house on this Resurrection Sunday morning here at First Baptist. We've had a wonderful day of celebrating the risen Lord already this day, starting with our community sunrise service at 6:30, our breakfast upstairs at 9 a.m., 9:30, our children's egg hunt, and our Sunday school hour at 9:45. Now we look forward to celebrating and lifting praise to the risen Lord through our words, our thoughts, and our actions in our worship celebration today. May we sing and praise the risen Lord this day. That's why we've gathered here. So I hope you'll join us in singing praise to our risen Lord today in our worship service this morning.
Our next hymn this morning is Crown Him with Many Crowns. Let's stand and sing together.
Wonderful today to see so many family and friends that are with us here for our Easter celebration here in worship. We're thankful that you've joined us. If you are a first-time visitor here at First Baptist Elon, we do want to welcome you. We encourage you to take a moment. There's a visitor's card in the pew right in front of you. If you want to fill that out and just drop it off in the offering plate following the worship service today so we can have a record of your visit, we would greatly appreciate that. For those that are watching this morning on Facebook Live, if you're a first-time viewer, we're glad that you found us, and we hope you'll send me an email this week, and let me follow up and share what First Baptist Church of Elon is all about. This morning, our opening scripture reading is Psalm 46. Listen to these words. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Through its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Be still and know that I am God. Let's exalt our Lord and Savior today. Pray with me this morning. Living God, on this most joyous day, we offer our thanks and praise to you, creator of heaven and earth, creator and lover of all humanity. We bless you for creating the whole world, for your promises to your people Israel, and for the life we know in Jesus Christ, your Son. Even when we turned away from you, you never rejected us. You spoke words of mercy and love through the prophets and to host a banquet for all people, promising to swallow up death forever, a feast of life-giving sustenance. We praise you for Christ Jesus, your word incarnate made flesh. Born of Mary, he shares our life. Eating with sinners, he welcomes us. Leading his followers, he guides us. Dying on the cross, he rescues us. Risen from the dead, he gives new life. Most resilient God, source of all that is eternally raised up, we give you thanks for your unspeakable gift of Christ Jesus. Now, on this Resurrection Sunday morning, as we bask in the presence of the risen Lord, we lift the prayer that he, Jesus the Christ, taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is Low in the Grave He Lay. And on the verses, I want you to sing very softly. And then when we get to the chorus, I want you to shout it as loud as you can shout it, up from the grave. Let's stand and sing together.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Join with me in prayer, please. Holy God, today we celebrate together the resurrection of our Lord. We praise you and we thank you for who you are, the Almighty God of boundless love, who sent his only Son to take our sins to the cross, that we might be forgiven and brought into your presence with the slate wiped clean. So we ask you again this day to forgive us when we fail you, and forgive us for not always following your command to love one another. Gracious Father, we worship you today with our offerings. May they reflect our gratitude for your abundant generosity to us. Bless these gifts that they will provide for the needs of your church and its ministries here and in the world around us. Give us wisdom in our stewardship of not only these funds, but also in taking care of this beautiful world you've provided for us. Now we ask you to open our hearts and our ears to hear the message you've given David for us today. We thank you for his dedication to serving you and this church. Change our hearts, Lord, where need be, to show our love for you and for each other, to a world sorely in need of your love and grace and guidance. May the light of Christ shine brightly through us, that all we need will want to know you too. Keep us, O God, in the center of your will, and we give you all the glory. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, worship choir, for our special music today. If you would, join me in prayer once again before we encounter God's word this morning. Pray with me. When everything was dark and it seemed that the sun would never shine again, your love broke through. Your love was too strong, too wide, too deep for death to hold. The sparks cast by your love danced and spread and burst forth with resurrection light. Gracious God, we praise you for the light of new life made possible through Jesus. We praise you for the light of new life that shone on the first witnesses of resurrection. We praise you for the light of the new life that continues to shine in our hearts today. We pray that the Easter light of life, hope, and joy will live in us each day, and that we will be bearers of that light into the lives of others. Amen. Again, let me say good morning and thank you for joining us for our Resurrection Sunday morning worship here at First Baptist Elon. It's been so good to see so many family and friends' faces this morning and catching up. My prayer, my hope, is that you've been able to experience the risen Lord in worship already today, and that my words will continue that experience. I came across an imagined scenario of the two Roman soldiers guarding Jesus' tomb on that first Easter morning. Each had his cup of coffee in his hand. Moments before the angel showed up, one soldier said to the other, "Cheer up, it's Sunday morning. The way I see it, we've got one more day of guarding this tomb, and by Monday, this whole thing will be forgotten." 2,000 years later, over 2 billion people claim the name of the resurrected Jesus Christ, far from being forgotten by Monday. Around the world on this day, the Easter story has been read. Around the world, people are being confronted with this historic event of the empty tomb where the dead body of Jesus Christ was placed. If you were there on that morning, what would your response have been? And the question is where the title of my Easter sermon is drawing from today, when faced with an empty tomb. When we look at the Easter story according to the Gospel of Matthew, we see 4 possible responses that we can have to the empty tomb. Let us first read this passage of Scripture today. The words will be displayed on the worship screen behind me. You can follow along in the pew Bibles or the Bible you brought with us today. But let's see what Matthew has to say about these responses to the empty tomb. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said, 'Come and see the place where we lay.' Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.' While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised the plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, 'You are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him. It will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble.'
So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed, and this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." The word of God for the people of God. There were four different responses recorded in Matthew 28. The women believed the truth. The soldiers negotiated the truth. The religious leaders of that day rejected the truth. And the disciples shared the truth. When faced with an empty tomb, what is your response? Maybe looking at why each responded differently will help us respond more wisely in 2026. Let's first look at the women. The women believed the truth. Two women with one agenda came to the tomb where Jesus was buried. Their agenda was to pay their last respect to Jesus. The Gospel of Mark tells us they brought fragrant spices to anoint the dead body of Jesus, maybe to mask the odor of the dead body. When the women arrived, an angel of God rolled back the stone that blocked the mouth of the tomb. Now, we need to know, we need to understand, the stone was rolled away not so Jesus could get out, but so two grieving friends could express their final act of love to Jesus. But maybe more importantly, the stone was rolled away so that the truth of Jesus' resurrection could be known. The women believed what the angel said. Would you have believed if you were there that day? I don't know how many of you remember the old comic strip found in a newspaper by the cartoonist Johnny Hart, who titled his comic BC. And I'm going to confess this morning, my parents used to get the newspaper every day. I think this is a thing of the past. But the only two things I ever read in the newspaper when I was a kid, a teenager, was the sports page and the comic strip. Everything else was worthless. But anyway, so I would read these two sections, and BC was one of my absolute favorite comics. Well, in one of my favorite of those comics by Johnny Hart, the story is, or the pictures show, that the caveman, who is the lead character in this comic strip, is on his knees praying. And he says, "It's not easy to believe in you, God. We never see you. How come you never show yourself?" In the next frame, he asks, "How do we know that you exist?" In the next frame, just then, a volcano blows up in the background. A daisy sprouts from the ground and topples over a rock. A wave washes over the caveman, and two meteors converge together in the sky, creating a cross in the sky. Finally, the drenched caveman stands up and says, okay, I give up. And as he walks by a burning bush and an empty tomb, he mutters to himself, "Every time I bring up the subject, all we get are interruptions." Many see God's answers as interruptions because we have our own agenda and our own expectations. Let me suggest that these women who believed because they did not have any agenda. The women believed because there was no selfish agenda on their page. Their hearts and their minds were not cluttered with selfish ambition. They saw with untainted eyes and heard with unhurried ears. The evidence of their belief was found in their eagerness to tell others this truth, that Jesus was risen from the dead. You see, the women believed the truth, but the soldiers negotiated the truth. You will notice the soldiers saw and heard the exact same things as the women did. The difference was that the soldiers were placed there and they placed their agendas above the truth. They negotiated the truth for self-protection and selfishness. They chose to keep their jobs and to accept a bribe over acting on what they knew was true. How many of us know that a lying tongue displeases God? How many of us have negotiated this truth to protect ourselves, to protect our jobs, to protect our privileges, and maybe even to gain a little hand up, maybe a client or a contract? How many of us know the truth that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? And how many of us negotiate this truth so as not to seem as intolerant? We face the same temptation as the soldiers, to negotiate the truth for selfish gain and self-protection. People do not believe the truth that Jesus died and was raised from the dead, not because the evidence does not support the truth. People do not believe because the truth does not support their lifestyle or their personal ambitions. If Jesus really did die for our sins and really was raised from the dead, then God takes sin seriously. Furthermore, if Jesus was raised from the dead, then he is the only way for us to have peace with God. We cannot choose our own way. God's truth is non-negotiable. When we negotiate God's truth, we can never come out ahead. Jesus asked in Mark chapter 8, "What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." You see, the women believed the truth. The soldiers negotiated the truth. But the religious leaders rejected the truth. You might be wondering why, of all the people in this story, the religious leaders rejected the truth that was there. Let me give you a little bit of background information, much of which you already know. And this speaks to our human condition. Matthew 27 tells us, "Now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate, the governor, asked them, 'Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who was called Christ?' For he knew it was out of envy that they," the religious leaders, "had handed Jesus over to him." The religious leaders were envious of the miracles that the crowd had experienced and the recognition that Jesus was getting for his teaching and his works of compassion. Envy can turn even the most pious men into a lynch mob. We have seen this even in America's history. These religious leaders felt threatened by Jesus' ministry of teaching and healing. Their convictions and careers were in jeopardy. They reasoned that sacrificing an innocent man for the establishment was acceptable, and they arranged the crucifixion of Jesus. When the soldiers reported the empty tomb, the religious leaders felt threatened once again. Rather than admit that they wrongly killed the Son of God, they decided to cover up their mistake. It is one thing to cover up a mistake done to a helpless victim, but another to cover the mistake done to God. Neither is moral, but the latter is impossible. Yet many succumb to that same temptation today. On a smaller scale, each one of us struggles with admitting wrong and asking God for forgiveness and guidance. We have invested too much time, too much energy, and too much pride into what we believe, and we're unwilling to see the truth. If you are struggling in this way today, let me encourage you to simply humble yourself and to muster up the courage to speak to your Lord. There's no shame in making mistakes. We all do. But there is shame and great foolishness if we try to cover it up rather than confess it. God is able and willing to help us. That is what the empty tomb is all about. Our offense against God has the consequence of death, but God, in his love and his graciousness and his compassion for us, pays the fine and offers eternal life through Jesus Christ. Romans 5:8 tells us, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, the women believed the truth. The soldiers negotiated the truth. The religious leaders rejected the truth. But the disciples shared the truth. History records the 11 disciples of Jesus gave their lives to share this truth, even when the establishments were using Christians as scapegoats for the religious and political turmoil of the first century AD. Have you ever wondered what changed these 11 disciples of Jesus? Realize that on the night that Jesus was arrested, they all fled for their lives. Simon Peter denied even knowing Jesus Christ, and of the 11, only John was recorded to be present at the crucifixion. What changed these cowardly men upside down for the becoming courageous martyrs? You see, Simon Peter was crucified as like Christ was, but upside down for telling the truth. James was run through with a sword for sharing the truth. Bartholomew was hacked to pieces for sharing the truth. Only one of the 11 died of old age, John, for sharing the truth, and he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. We have heard the saying, truth, the truth gets out. If the resurrection and the empty tomb was a lie, we have to think that the truth would have gotten out. It would not have survived one generation, much less 2,000 years ago, and is the reason we gather here this morning on Easter Sunday, because it is the truth. The women believed the truth. The soldiers negotiated the truth. The religious leaders rejected the truth. The disciples shared the truth. When faced with an empty tomb, what is your response? How you choose to respond to the empty tomb has a great deal to do with how you live your life right now and what you have to look forward to in the future. One final story this morning. The story is told of a young mother, a doctor, who found herself on the last train out of Poland during Hitler's regime. She had her firstborn toddler with her and a newborn nursing infant with her. The bombing was fierce, and the train that they were on had to stop many times for the passengers to take cover. A trip that should have only lasted a couple hours ended up lasting days. The food on the train ran out, the resources ran out, and there was no liquid to be had for any of them. Consequently, when they arrived at their destination, the infant that she was nursing was very ill. A group of nuns met her there, took the baby to the hospital where they would attempt to nurse the baby back to health. The mother felt great relief at this apparent reprieve, but the joy was short-lived. The next morning, she was given the news that the hospital that the baby had been transported to had been bombarded during the night, and that her baby surely or likely did not survive. As she hurried to the hospital site, like many others did, the mother was simply given a flashlight to search for her baby's body. What a tragic scene. Imagine the confusion, the pain, the grief, the hopelessness of a mother who herself was a doctor whose hands and skills had no doubt saved many lives but could do nothing in this situation. This is our life without Easter. This is our life because it would be hopelessness. Imagine, though, that the story has a different ending. The mother, desperately seeking through the rubble for the infant, she is crying loudly together with the many others that were searching in the same situation. But suddenly in that moment, there's another cry, the sound of an infant. Could it be? She runs to where the sound comes from, and there in the rubble, she finds her baby alive. What incredible relief mingled with joy. All the questions now do not need to be answered. All the what ifs and why did this happen no longer matter. Her baby is alive. That's what Easter does. Easter changes the mood of the crucifixion into joy. Now all that matters is our response. Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Repeat it with me. Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. That makes all the difference. That's not just for Easter Sunday. It's for Monday through Saturday as well. That's what we proclaim. That's what we're called to proclaim when we experience the empty tomb for the first time in a way where we embrace Him. Jesus Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Let's pray. Oh God, week after week, You arise, gathering Your people, proclaiming the word of life, feeding us with food that is eternal, sharing Your Spirit, and renewing the face of the earth. Oh God, transform us this Resurrection Sunday that we may embrace all that You have made and live toward the hope and the justice that You intend through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. As we stand to sing our closing hymn this morning, the question is how do you respond to that empty tomb? How do you respond this day? If you're ready to embrace Him as your Savior for the first time, come meet me at the bottom of the aisle. I look forward to embracing you as a brother in Christ. If you're seeking to find a church family that seeks to honor God with everything that we do, proclaiming the empty tomb and all that we do, First Baptist could be that home for you. Come and let me share what First Baptist is all about. Or maybe today you're struggling. Maybe as you come and worship on this day of celebration, you're struggling with something that's holding you back. If that's where you are, the altar is open. It's always open. It's His. Come and speak with Him. I'll pray with you. One of our deacons will pray with you. Whatever you need to do, but make that decision today. Don't put it off. Make it today on this Resurrection Sunday. Let's stand and sing.
Serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today.
As we prepare to leave this day, I encourage you to stay standing for our benediction and also stay standing as the Alleluia chorus is played. We go out into a world that needs to hear the truth. Be the bearer of that truth today. The empty tomb means new life and new hope found in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.